Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, a century of Charlotte's news.
Good morning, Carolinas. You are listening to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110, 99.3 FM, 107.9 The Link, and 102.5610 WFNZ, which is also available as a podcast on WBT.com. We're your co-hosts, Sharon Thorsland. I'm Ed Billick. And let's get started talking donating blood plasma with Paul Schmalditz.
We're privileged and honored this morning to have with us Paul Schmalditz, who's in charge of the blood plasma donations here in the Charlotte area. And I'll let him describe his role and his title. Paul, good morning and welcome to Carolina Focus.
Well, good morning, Ed. Thanks for having me. I am the center manager of the CSL Plasma on Central Avenue in Charlotte. I've been with the company over 30 years and happy to be in Charlotte about 12 years now. We've been collecting plasma.
And where does your passion for this kind of work come from, Paul? 30 years is quite a career.
Well, when I started, honestly, it was while I was dropping out of college and needed some money to pay the rent. But over the years, it's become a passion, actually. My first wife died 8 years ago, and she would have died 10 years before that if it hadn't been for plasma products, actually. So while it was just spending money to start with, it's really become something that I'm passionate about now.
Let's help provide
medicine to save people.
Let's go back to a high school science class, if that's where we learned a little bit about blood. What is plasma?
So the plasma is the liquid portion of the blood. So it's mostly water, about 90% or a little bit more is water. What we're really after are the proteins and antibodies and some clotting factors to make medicine with.
Interesting. So if I have a different type of blood, what is that A positive, AB positive, negative, all that? Does that describe the plasma as well, or is that separate to the ingredients of what's in our blood?
So we do return normally the red blood cells for that specific blood type, the A positive or O negative, is on. So plasma itself is not blood type specific, and that is one of the things that over the years has made it initially in demand, because they were using it to replace volume of people who lost a lot of blood quickly. They could put plasma into people without doing the blood typing in an emergency situation.
So then it adds that value. Now, here since the COVID-19 crisis, the pandemic, we hear a lot about the plasma. You need plasma donations. Describe that, because I've saw blood drives are, you know, since
you donate plasma, we do give money back to you anywhere from right now $75 for new donors when they come in to our regular donors, probably average $34 a visit right now. Maybe a bit higher at this point because we do have some bonuses going on. But they can either take that money for personal use, or they can take that money and put it back towards a charity. In fact, right now we have a hashtag CSL Plasma Challenge, where people, if they donate, they can give money to Project Cure, or they can just hashtag CSL Plasma Challenge on social media and challenge some of their friends or colleagues to donate. And for each mention of that, CSL Plasma is donating $5 to Project Cure, which supports frontline healthcare workers.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So if we have a listener who says, hey, I'd like to do this, I'd like to participate in this drive, and it sounds like you definitely need folks, how can I go do that?
So here in the Charlotte area, we have four facilities. We've got one on Central Avenue down by Albemarle Road. We've got a newer facility in North Tryon. And we've got a place in Rock Hill on Cherry Road. And then in Gastonia, we have our newest facility in the area is there on South York Road. And they can just go in our facility here where I manage on Central Avenue. We are open from 5:30 every single morning, 7 days a week, until 9 during the week, until 6 p.m. on the weekends. So people, as long as they have some time, and the first time they come in usually takes about 2 to 2.5 hours. The process itself takes only about 45 minutes, but there is a lot of extra questions the first time you come in, and you do have to get just a short physical with one of our nurses, again, to make sure we're not going to harm you or the product.
So after, let's say after I leave, will I feel differently the rest of the day? Will my energy return? I mean, what can I expect?
So the first time you come in, if you haven't done it before, sometimes you do feel a little different, but because we do return saline to people, there's generally no ill effects and no weakness like would be associated with donating blood. So generally, no. You can generally come in. We've got a lot of people that come in either right before they go to work or right after they work, before they go home for the day.
Sounds like a great way to help others for sure. And then I like the idea of the proceeds going to our healthcare workers. Paul, to wrap up this segment, anything else you want to share with our listeners here on Carolina Focus?
No, really just remind everybody that even though there is a pandemic going on, we still need this plasma to make medication for many, many people around the country and the world that do have rare diseases. The need for their medicine hasn't gone away. And I know some of them were a little bit nervous that with us people would stay in and not come out to donate plasma. So if people have the time and the inclination, we are certainly open and wanting people to come in and donate plasma so that we can make these medicines that are needed right now.
How can folks get in touch with you now?
So the easiest way right now to find a plasma center near you is cslplasma.com. They could go there. They could also just call us. Our phone number is 704-535-1765. We love to speak with people that way. Or they could even find us on social media.
Go ahead and repeat that web address again.
So the web address is cslplasma.com.
Paul, we thank you and your whole team at all your locations for what you do. Been educational for me for sure, and I'm sure for our listeners. And thanks for joining us on Carolina Focus.
All right. Thanks, Ed, for having me. And I do invite you and challenge you, in fact, to donate plasma yourself. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.
And thanks to Paul and his team for all the good work they do at CSL Blood Plasma. Hey, coming up next, Sharon and I thought it'd be interesting to jump in on a discussion with the Mecklenburg County Managers COVID-19 Business Leaders Roundtable. Hear the dynamics, hear the great ideas they have on reaching the message of being safe and healthy during this pandemic and reaching out to all the different segments in the business community. Let's listen in.
First item on our agenda today, and that is an update on our media campaign. I know that they have been working hard. I know Shante has been involved in that, as well as others, Rocio as well. And so I know they are excited All right. Show us what they've done. We also have two guests with us. We have Pacino Macias and Gail Cox from ACM, who have been working with them on the media campaign. And we are so excited to see what you guys have come up with. So, Michael, I will turn it over to you and you can take us through it.
Great, Dina. It's pretty amazing when you get to work with such an A team as we have working on this. It's been a lot of fun to accept the challenge and see the gifts of all these different individuals and the chambers, the Greater Asian Chamber, the LGBT Chamber, the Black Chamber, and the Latina Chamber, and working with Ray Ward and with ACNM. And we understand that this is something we've got to jump on quickly. We were able to catch up with Gibby, and she was able to review some of the content and give us some important feedback. And we're excited today, as I shared with you via text, to just roll out some of this great creative that's been, you know, in line with the original aspirations that Jennifer shared. Many thanks to the foundation and to the United Way for the funding so that we can create some content and buy some media and get this placed. And that's where we are. So with some feedback from today, we're ready to go live on Friday. So kind of great news on all fronts. I'll turn it over to Jennifer, who will probably take control of the screen, and you'll hear from a lot of the stakeholders and different parts of the team that have been a part of this journey.
Okay, so hopefully everybody can see the screen. But we're gonna dive right in. Thanks, Michael, for that setup. So just to run through a couple of points, we've talked about the fact that it's going to be a 12-week campaign, and Michael just hit the punchline. We're going to be launching this Friday, but some of the other elements will launch over the next couple of weeks. The local campaign does align with the Count on Me NC State campaign that was developed by LG. So we're glad to have their partnership and make sure that our messages are aligning with messages across the state. The campaign does include broad and then highly targeted and adapted messaging and media placements. So we're going to share how we've done that through this great partnership. There's going to be, along with, classical and traditional media, there's going to be social, video, and grassroots elements to make sure that we're telling stories and extending our reach with the paid campaign. It is a collaborative community effort with the chambers, as Michael mentioned. And then we are maximizing the $150,000 budget with a goal of 3-to-1. And we passed that long ago. So we're really being efficient with the media, digging into the segments that we need to target most. As you know, that is around our young adults, 13 to 39, the Hispanic population. They are a very, very important community for this campaign. Blacks, African-Americans, you can see the stats there. Almost 1 out of 3 of the deaths are with our Black community. Our Asian community, they are self-isolated and lacking a lot of information. So we wanna make sure that we're getting good information into their hands. And then essential workers are also critical. Elderly, obviously, we know a lot about. And then we also want to make sure we're including the LGBT community also. But taking all of those segments and then looking broadly across all the different media and how we're planning on reaching those segments, you can see we're trying to be thoughtful and strategic about all the different tactics and media choices. So diving into the creative, as I mentioned, this is a CLT campaign. As we, you know, are emphasizing those important segments, we want to make sure the campaign does three things. Of course, stressing the fact that coronavirus is still here and continues to be a huge threat to our families and our futures. We do want to share those consistent 3 W's as simple but powerful actions that everyone can take. And then we want to encourage everyone to show that they care by committing to stop the spread. So it really is a rallying cry to that commitment. And the campaign is designed to educate and engage all of our citizens and bring them on board for the common good. All of the communications will drive to a website that will provide more information and resources. So this is the logo lockup, the Calumni CLT, along with those graphics and the banners that you'll see in a lot of the work. So starting with billboards, we are already working very closely with Adams Outdoor, not only on printed, but on electronic messages that we're being really thoughtful from a broad perspective, and then really zeroing in on targeted messages and targeted locations based on the areas that are being most impacted. So here are some of the different messages for outdoor, including spread compassion, not the virus, highlighting our small businesses with messages like show the virus you mean business, and using different talent in those messages. Face down the enemy, let's win against coronavirus. And then, you know, really bold, in your face coronavirus, with a great message in showing our citizens masked up. The Business Journal, and I want to thank Tom Murray, I know he's on the phone. This was an ad donated by the CRBA. So this will be in print starting this Friday. Again, with the message, let the virus know we mean business. And I know the type is probably hard for you to read, but just to give you a sense of what that message says, here's the copy. It's imperative to battle COVID-19's devastating impacts on our health and our economy. The best way to do both is to keep everyone safe and avoid potential setbacks as we rebuild business. Please follow NC and Mecklenburg County guidelines as you set policies, and make sure you, your employees, and your customers wear a mask, wait 6 feet, and wash your hands often. Until there's a vaccine, stay vigilant to stay safe and stay open. So that's print. Along with our negotiation, we're gonna have a lot of opportunity to have digital banner ads online. And so you can see some of the messages from wear your heart on your face, to spread compassion, not the virus, to it won't be forever, but it will be for good. So those are some of the great, really bold messages that we're gonna have on digital banner ads. Social media posts, so these can be a little lighter in nature, from, you know, getting on the bandwagon to sharing stats, to using some of the fun messages we talked about early, like stay at least 1 feet away from others, emphasizing the 6 feet. Lots of opportunity to have those. And we want to create a toolkit where we can share these.
Jennifer, I wanted to let you know that Gail is back on.
Thank you. Welcome back, Gail. And I'm about to hand it over to Gail so she can share some of their great work. We had a really fun idea of maybe getting all the mascots, ba-dum-bump, involved, masked mascots. Wouldn't it be fun to, you know, get all of them involved? Really would be engaging for the young people with messages like tackle the virus by playing it safe. And I think we've already gotten a couple of commitments there. So that was another fun idea. So here is the website, and it's going to run through a little video so you can see some of the information that we're sharing under Know the Facts, How to Take Action, and then Hear Your Voice, aligning with social media, and lots of additional resources. And you can click off. Many of these are also in the business toolkit. And then we also want to make sure that it is translated in Spanish. So you can see that we'll have a page there. Over the last couple of days, our team has been out shooting photography and capturing the faces of our very diverse community. So we've been shooting across Charlotte. So you can see some of the great photography as I click through. Small businesses, in some recognizable locations, showing our citizens wearing masks. I love some of these. Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to Gail to walk through some of the targeted creative. So Gail, you ready?
So for the segments that we were targeted with, ensuring that we were reaching, the first one is the Hispanic segment. And so first of all, we took Count on Me CLT, there should actually be CLT there, and translated that to Vamos a Cuidarnos, which is a translation, a reverse translation is more of let's take care of each other. And it recognizes the reciprocity and group orientation of the Hispanic population. And we thought that that was just a slight deviation, but one that made a lot of sense to help people to understand that it's not just about them. It's about taking care of their collective community, their family, et cetera. We're working with the logos that have been translated by the Department of Health and Human Services. And so they have the translation of the of those icons that are on the previous page. And we then use them. The first one is for the mask. The second, obviously, for the distancing. And then the third one for washing. And so Vamos a Cuidarnos, a CLT, is that translation for the Hispanic audience. So we have three different ideas that you're gonna see here. And then for each one, you're gonna see the supporting social media that also would go with it, and then other ideas for posters and things like that. The first one is about this lucha will be one wearing a mask. And so for those of you who are familiar with Hispanic culture, lucha libre is very popular. It's a form of Mexican wrestling. And generally the one who wears a mask in those fights is the good guy. And so esta lucha se gana con máscara. And so this lucha will be one wearing a mask. COVID-19 kills. And so we think that this will really appeal especially to some of the Hispanic men in the population. On the next page, you see some of the corresponding elements for social media and then for posters. There'll be some different slight variations on it. One, being healthy is on everyone's tongue, on everyone's mouth is the translation. COVID-19 kills. Also the idea of COVID-19 affects not just your family here, but your family there. And so it's recognizing that many newer immigrant Hispanics that are here in Charlotte are here working not only for their family that's here, but also to send funds home to family in Mexico. And so this can affect them as well. And then the last one you see there, COVID-19 bankrupts businesses. The next idea is focused on the idea of social distancing and keeping that 6 feet distance. And so we're asking people to think about distancing today so that we can be together tomorrow, do it for them. And so this is, again, just playing into the idea that it's not just about you. We recognize that you're thinking about others around you as well, close to you. Other expansions of that idea for social media and for posters. This is another idea, the farther the better, that transcends all races and cultures, that somehow mother-in-laws are not the popular one, but another extension of that, it's better 6 feet apart than 6 feet under. You can get COVID, and this is really recognizing that a lot of the Hispanic population here really believes that this is not real, that it's not a big, first of all, that it doesn't really exist and that it really isn't a big deal. And so I want to make sure that they understand it can mean the difference between life and death. So that's an example of the social distancing idea. The next idea is about washing. And so in Hispanic culture, boxing is also a big connector. And so in boxing, we have a similar notion here in the United States of, you know, having a clean fight. And so in Hispanic culture, it's about this has to be a clean hand fight. So wash your hands, stop the contagion. That idea would then also be expanded into social media and other formats. Wash your hands as if your life depended on it. Defend yourself and your loved ones. Wash your hands to stop the contagion. So those are the three primary ideas that will lead the Hispanic campaign to make sure that we're getting across those three icons, but also we will have some social media posts that will leverage visuals similar to these. These are still in progress, and we will have these both in English and in Spanish so that they can be used both with the Hispanic audience, but then also with the African-American audience. And so the first one you see there, again, this is leveraging the translation that people already have become used to from the Department of Health and Human Services. Instead of www, they have the P-E-L. And then the next one, that is not our actual graphic yet. We're working on one that leverages similar, very simplified visuals that tell the story without too many words, but that basically depending on what combination of masks you have that you're using when you encounter people, will end up impacting whether you have a very high rate of being potentially catching it or a very low rate. And there's even one that we'll have on here that's where the two people are sort of inside of a house to say, you know, that's not existent in terms of the rate of transmission if you both are in your own homes. So we'll make sure that those are available in English and in Spanish and leverage those on social media. The next slide is to highlight three of the ideas that we worked closely with Ojavia and with Jennifer's team to ensure that we had some boards that would be most appropriate for sharing in the African-American community. We thought that these three did a very nice job, along with one of the earlier ones that Jennifer shared that talked about your business. And so for that one, we're hoping that we'll be able to shoot it using both Manolo from Manolo's Bakery as a Hispanic business owner representative and also an African-American woman business owner to show that combined with these. Mask on Mac is a play on a future rap song.
So I'm just going to interject. So the mask on is, again, one of the ideas working with Javier and working with the people from Great War. We identified a song that is very relevant, not only within the African-American community, because they love rap.
Okay, so as Gail was saying, you know, we're wanting to make sure that the messaging is correct. So Chad was very helpful for with us on making sure that we're getting this messaging for the LGBT community. So again, picking up on those themes, take pride, mask up, and show your true colors. So some really kind of bright, bold, and relevant messaging there. One of the things we've been talking about is using influencers.
Influencers? Hey, we'll pick back up the discussion with the county manager's COVID-19 Business Leaders Roundtable right after this.
Station.
Well, welcome back to Carolina Focus, ladies and gentlemen. Heard right here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, 107.9 The Link, and 102.5 610 WFNC, available also on podcast. We're your co-hosts, Sharon Forsland, I'm Ed Billing. And let's continue listening into the county manager's COVID-19 business roundtable held earlier this week.
One of the things we've been talking about is using influencers to help get the message out. So we've been gathering through, you know, different folks, some of the leaders from the chamber groups, in putting together influencers that we hope will help us get the word out. We did a little survey within our agency and just who do you turn to for, you know, medical advice, you know, is it political leaders, healthcare leaders, somebody like Gibby will be really important in sharing information, local media personalities, sports celebrities. And so we'll be creating a much longer list. But if you have any ideas or thoughts, if you want to get those to us, that would be great.
And yes, and actually to that point, I know that we have some representatives from the medical community, and so we really would appreciate your advice if there are members of your organization who are epidemiologists or people who work, you know, pulmonologists, especially those who are either African-American, Hispanic, Asian, known to be part of the LGBT community. If there are any of those that you can recommend, we highly appreciate those recommendations because we know that those testimonials, either from people who have been affected by COVID or from people who are seen as real medical authorities, especially those to whom they can relate, are very helpful. So please do share those names with us.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Carolina Focus. We have a very special guest, Julie Emmons from the Carolina Film Community. Thanks so much for joining us today, Julie.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to talk about this contest that you guys have going on. But first, could you give us a little bit of background on the film community? How did it get started? I know you're the founder of it. What made you start something like this? And also tell us a little bit about your background in film.
Okay. Well, it's funny. It's kind of a funny story. Back in 2009, I worked on a film with a friend of mine, and there just wasn't a lot of film going on, and we were kind of frustrated, and we were just like, we get into these films and then we just don't see each other for like maybe 6 months or like a year. And wouldn't it be amazing if we had this community of like filmmakers and we could just start making our own films and putting it out there? And we were like, okay, let's just do it. And so we put together the community and we meet monthly And that sort of is how it kind of took off. Around that same time, our incentives in North Carolina changed, which really helped us, you know, with making more films. So we were seeing each other more regularly, but we were still meeting monthly, which made our independent film scene a lot more healthy. And that was the big thing for us, is that we were getting like a lot more independent film, a lot more filmmakers were coming out of the woodwork. And then also we were getting bigger budget films that we could work on as well. So that was just, it all sort of came together kind of at the same time, which was fantastic for what we were trying to accomplish.
So what year was it started exactly?
In 2009.
Okay. And so you have these monthly meetings. Is it more of a networking type of thing that you're trying to build and then expand from there?
It's, well, I would say it's a little bit of a mix of things. Our biggest thing is like, we're just trying to educate the community on like what filmmaking is. And so we have a speaker come in each month, and they may be like, maybe they're a producer that's in town on a film, or they're a casting director that's talking about, you know, what you need to do for techniques for auditions. It's someone that's experienced in the community that could help people like in their walk in this industry. And then there is a time for kind of getting to know each other. There is a networking time, because honestly, this industry, the way that it's built, is it's who you know, I hate to say it like that, but it is, it's all built on just relationships. And so there is a time for that. We also share like short films and trailers, and we give a chance for our filmmakers to kind of put their stuff out there to get their stuff out in the community as well.
So now I know that it started out just based in Charlotte, but now you expanded it to include both yeah. North and South Carolina.
We did. When North Carolina's incentives, when it sort of died down with us, we were like, well, you know what? We are so close to the border here in Charlotte. We should probably include both Carolinas. We were having a lot of people come over the border, you know, just being there in Charlotte. And we were like, you know, why aren't we including both? Which I think was really good for us and what we were doing and what we were trying to accomplish. So we did go from Charlotte Film Community to Carolina Film Community.
How many members do you have, or how many people are regularly involved in the community?
I think right now, like online, if we count our members and the people that interact with us online, we have around 7,000.
Wow.
Each month we have around 100 to 120. Sometimes we have a little less, like maybe around 80, but you know, around 100 is our average. So it's not bad. No, after 11 years.
That's a lot of people. Yeah, I know that. Being in Charlotte, maybe not the first thing people think of is film in Charlotte.
Right.
I know back in the day, you were like, oh, Wilmington had a lot of production yeah. stuff going on. And I know there have been some random things filmed in the Charlotte area. But how big is this, is the opportunity for film and for people to be involved in film in the Charlotte and greater Carolina area?
You know, I think that you're right. A lot of people look at Wilmington and they have the big studios and people are just like, oh, Wilmington is film. But honestly, we've had a lot of really amazing things happen in Charlotte. We're very big on commercials. We do a lot of commercials here. But not just that, we've had big films that have happened here as well. And just, I think that a lot of people miss that. But our biggest thing, I really think that Charlotte is just our underground, like our just independent film. We have a lot of independent filmmakers here that do really cool stuff, that go on to festivals and win awards and that kind of thing. We have a lot of really cool independent like film festivals here with Joe Dance and the Carolina Film Festival, the Charlotte Film Festival, those kind of things. So we have really, really interesting things that are happening outside of just studio films, just independent that are happening as well.
So if people were interested in getting involved in the community, they could obviously go to your website. How else could they find out more information about this?
They could go to our website. They could go to, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. We're all, you know, we're doing the whole social media thing. But all of that, and they're always welcome to email me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. I'm just Julie@CarolinaFilmCommunity.com. But there's a lot of information out there just on us and how to reach us and that kind of thing. And I'd be, you know, welcome any questions. So.
Okay, great. Well, we're speaking with Julie Evans. She is the founder of the Carolina Film Community. Now, I know that you guys have a really neat competition that you're accepting films for right now. Can you tell us exactly what that is? Because it's got some pretty neat elements to it, as I was reading on your website.
I do. Yeah, so this is our 11th year doing this. And it used to be called Made in Charlotte, obviously. Now it's Made in Carolinas. And so it's open to both the Carolinas. But this is what we're called Made in Carolinas. And we are opening it up to filmmakers. We're asking for submissions. And basically, every year has a different theme. It has a different just idea behind it. And last year, we did it similar to this year, where we're sort of doing it more open. We've had themes like what scares you, and I had to have like a phobia, and you had to list a phobia. Or We had all documentaries, and you had to do a short documentary. So this year is more open. It's you pick a genre, and you have a line that's in it. This year is called Made in Carolinas 2020 Television. It's a play on words. It's all 2020 thing. And it's just going to be a really fun event. Basically, we have people submit their films, and we have a big event in September where we watch the films. We have the audience come. They use their cell phones to vote for who they think should win. The filmmakers win cash prizes, which we hope will make them make other films. You know, we hope that's just putting a little seed money there. But also just getting their name out there and just getting recognition. And really our biggest thing is that we're honing their skills. We're putting it out there, especially for our student competition, which is a part of it, just getting them involved and keeping them excited and wanting to keep that passion for filmmaking, you know, going. So it's really fun. It's like we have a big red carpet event. It's a lot of fun, you know, just to be a part of.
Yeah. Now, I know that I was reading it has to be a specific length. It has to have a certain sentence in it. Can you tell us exactly some of the more details about
that? You might remember more than I do. I think it has to be 4 minutes. and I think the line is, I see what you're doing there, which is the play on the vision. Each year has a different line or a different prop. I think this year's prop is like eyeglasses, just to make sure we're making it for, you know, our contest, which gets really fun because people use that in like all kinds of crazy, you know, exciting ways. And the line too, you know, it could be a really serious thing or it could be a joke. It's really interesting the way people use it. So it is a really fun thing to be a part of and get to see how people take this one thing and make it into their own exciting part.
So you said it could be any genre. I mean, it could be a comedy, a drama, a horror movie, anything?
I believe there's five of them. There's like comedy, dark comedy, drama, and I'm going to get them wrong, I'm sure. documentary. I think there's like five. I'm not going to say them all right. But yeah, there's five that you choose from. They fall inside those genres. And they're all listed there on the website as well.
How many submissions do you normally get for a competition like this?
So we're only going to take 15, the top 15. We'll have an independent panel for time constraints. We have an independent panel decide on the top 15. And then we take the top five student films.
Oh, wow.
But I think last year we got right at 15. And so we were pretty like, okay, good. We don't have to cut. good. But so it's just around 15 to 20, something like that. Like it's not overwhelming, but you know, we love the idea of getting new filmmakers out there and like seeing people we haven't seen before.
What kinds of things are you looking for when you do have to narrow it down, and then especially for the competition itself and to choose who wins certain categories? What types of things are you looking for in the film?
So the categories are things like best director, best cinematographer, best actors. And this year, I think we actually put in like best, like cast group, like best ensemble cast, which we've never done before, but I'd be interested to see how someone makes that work. Best screenplay, you know, how are you making your screenplay fit these lines that we're giving you and that kind of thing. So we try to keep it pretty creative, but also, you know, the audience is the one depending on, you know, like they're deciding it. It's not me or even an independent panel. So we'd like to see, you know, after 11 years, we want to see these films get better and better and better. And so that's what we're hoping for. You know, we want you to work on a film that when it leaves us, it can go to a festival and it can win stuff there as well. Yeah.
Have you had any films go from like this competition onto a bigger film festival and do well?
Oh yeah, for sure. I know for sure that there's been many people that have put things in here and they've gone on to a lot of local and even like the Southeast, they've gone on and won awards as well.
Wow. So this is sort of a good jumping off point then for people who are looking to hone their skills, I would guess.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, that's our hope is that they're coming and they're finding not only just people to help them and groups to get involved in, but also just like a place to start or to just, you know, continue to hone their skills.
Now, when you say there's a student film category, how old do the students have to be? I mean, is this like high school, college, film school, what kind of thing?
It's high school. Like once you graduate high school, yeah, because we felt like there might be an unfair advantage once you get into college. A lot of school of the arts students were like, you guys have better equipment than we have.
Okay.
So it's high school and under for sure.
So when are the submissions due and how would people get those into you?
They are due the first Tuesday of August. And I believe that is the 4th of August, if I'm saying it correctly. And they can either email it to me, which is julie@carolinafilmcommunity.com, or they can meet me that night up till midnight at Dilworth Neighborhood Grill. and I'll be there to take it physically as well, like on a thumb drive or something like that.
Okay. And that's where you have your meetings monthly, right?
We do. Yes. We have those meetings there. And again, all the information we have everywhere, you know, our website, our social media, all of that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I did want to mention as well, we have a little bit more time on this. July 7th is the deadline for this, but we are sponsoring a grant called the Emerging Film Grant.
Okay.
Emerging grant for film artists. I'm probably saying that wrong. I think that's right. But essentially it's $5,000 that we're looking for a filmmaker to give away to. And we're asking that they provide like a treatment or a short film, a script, not the film itself. And we just are hoping to find like that filmmaker that wants to make their film that needs that money, which okay. is most of us that are looking to make films. And I just wanted to put that shout out there as well. That's also on our website. So anybody that you know or you know your viewers that I could look, that would be also a really cool thing for them to look into. The caveat is they cannot use that film and enter it into Main Carolina.
Okay.
But I did want to let you guys know about that just in case you have filmmakers that are watching that are like, I have this amazing idea that won't fit this contest, but I would love $5,000 to make a movie.
Okay.
I did want to let you know about that as well.
And speaking of that, made me think of something else that I had read about the community, that you do have people, like if somebody has a script and they want feedback on it, you have your group would like look at it and give feedback and try to help people with things like that as well?
We do. We have a part of our group is called the Script to Screen Workshop, and it meets once a month as well. And you submit your scripts, and they'll choose, if it's a feature length, they'll choose, I think it's up to like 20 pages, and they'll read through that and they'll critique that with you. And the idea is just to get it, you know, like screen ready, just to go through like, no, that doesn't work. Yes, that sounds great. Or a character would never say that. You know, those kind of things that writers sometimes in their own head, it sounds great. But when it's, they have actors read them out and they're like, oh, that sounds terrible. Or no, my person would never say that.
Okay.
And it's such a fantastic part of what we do, because then when it's done, they go, you know, meet up with directors, they meet up with producers, and they're like, it's finished. Let's go make this. So it's okay. A really good part of our group as well.
Yeah. Now, the actual competition itself, when it's done, you said you have a red carpet gala. Where is that going to be held, and how does that work exactly?
So at this point, we're looking to have it on September 15th, and we're hoping to hold it at, it's a place called 820 over in the Music Factory, and we're hoping to hold it there. It is still technically to be determined. We're having to change venues. We used to have it there at Studio Movie Grill, which I'm sure you know has been moved since then. Or they've shut down since then.
Yeah.
So we're still working those details out, but it looks like we're probably going to have it there, and just do the whole red carpet event there. We are very much hoping to do not just a live event, but also trying to hybrid that with a virtual event in case people still aren't comfortable with coming out. And so just trying to make a hybrid thing there that we can do a live streaming so people can watch and kind of be a part of it and still vote and that kind of thing. So got a lot of really big ideas. Hopefully they all pan out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a crazy time right now, needless to say.
Absolutely.
So but, I'm sure you'll get some topical and interesting film submissions too, just based on
everything. I hope so. It's been an insane year. So everyone has a lot of stuff they can write about.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Julie Emmons with the Carolina Film Community. And you can find out tons more information on their website. And like she was saying, on all of their social media. And sounds like a really neat competition and just a really neat organization as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sharon. You know, here on Carolina Focus, not only we like to talk topics that are of interest to all of us in the Carolinas, but every once in a while, we like to share a couple interviews. We like to share interviews that occurred in the past week. And in doing so, Bo Thompson connected with Newt Gingrich this week. You remember, Newt was the 50th Speaker of the United States House of Representatives back in the day. He shared his thoughts on what's currently going on with the John Bolton book, with Trump's courage, Biden's VP choices, and what should Donald Trump focus on going forward. Here's Bo Thompson with Newt Gingrich.
Well, we do now have connection established between WBT and the former Speaker of the House. He is in Rome right now, as I understand it. Newt Gingrich is with us. Mr. Gingrich, good morning.
How are you doing?
We are well.
Mr. Speaker, this is Pat McCrory, former governor of North Carolina, former mayor of Charlotte. And I was mayor when you were speaker, and I was honored to work with you. You're writing a book, Trump and the American Future, and it's competing against this Bolton book, which I was just being very critical of John Bolton for, first of all, communicating private conversations between him and the president, which, as you know, being Speaker of the House, you have a lot of private conversations where you brainstorm certain things. And it's in confidence, so you can do just that. What do you think of John Bolton? You know him well. What do you think about his book?
Well, Bolton, listen, Bolton and I used to have offices next to each other at the American Enterprise Institute back about 2002. He's very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked by what he's done. It just strikes me that it is not at all like the John Bolton I knew. And I think that it's a huge mistake on his part. I tell people, based on the fact that everybody who's been in the same room has said it wasn't true, combined with the fact that the government of Korea came out yesterday and said Bolton was inaccurate. Now, that's weird. I mean, you know,
this is South Korea.
I just tell people, assume the book should be listed under fiction and go to the next topic. It's not a serious book.
Well, you have a nonfiction book, although you've written some great fiction books called Trump and the American Future. And when I used to work with President Trump when running for re-election, I always said his greatest strength, he had no filter, and his greatest weakness is he had no filter. What is Trump's greatest strength and weakness?
Oh, I think his greatest strength is just unbelievable courage. I mean, I don't know, other than Lincoln, of any president who could have taken the scale of daily beating he's taken and get back up and keep coming the way he does. You know, he said 93% of his news coverage has been negative.
Mm-hmm.
He had the FBI and the intelligence community trying to destroy him before he even got sworn in. He has had the Democrats trying to destroy him for three solid years. You know, and I think it's amazing. And, you know, as a perfect example was this whole fiasco, which I thought he did a good job making fun of in Tulsa. But, you know, you give a great speech to the graduates of West Point. It was truly a good speech.
It was. That was the best part of his speech, by the way.
Yeah, and so the propaganda instruments, we don't have any news media left, but the propaganda instruments all then decide to focus on whether or not he was having trouble drinking a glass of water and how he walked down the ramp, which allowed them to avoid covering the speech. And it was such a despicable and dishonest. And I thought that he did a good job the other night of explaining what he was doing and why he was doing it. But I think it was also, you know, a guy who can take that kind of beating and keep coming is really remarkable. And
in the remaining minute or so, we got you a little late. What is the future? What is the Trump and the American future?
Well, I think the choice will be the American people's. In November, we're either going to vote for a Pelosi, Schumer, Biden machine, which will make America resemble California, or we're going to reelect Trump and McConnell, and McCarthy's going to end up with a majority in the House, in which case we'll cut taxes, cut regulations, create jobs, increase take-home pay, and do the things we were doing back in February. I mean, remember, in February, we had the lowest black unemployment in history, the lowest Latino unemployment in history, the lowest female unemployment in history. It was a remarkable time.
We're talking to Newt Gingrich, who has a new book called Trump and the American Future. And you just said something there about the Biden machine. There's been a lot of speculation for obvious reasons. Who's going to be on the ticket with Joe Biden? Amy Klobuchar took herself out of the mix the other night. It looks like we're pointing towards a African-American female. But what about that ticket? Who do you think he's going to be? And I mean, President Trump, who's he going to be running with along with Joe Biden on the ticket?
I suspect it'll be an African-American woman. Both, it has to be a woman. I mean, their party's now so committed to symbols that he couldn't possibly pick a man, unless maybe somebody was transgender. Second, I think that it will be almost certainly an African-American woman, compounded by the whole reaction to what happened with George Floyd and the whole process of what we've seen with demonstrations and so forth. So in their party, I think you'd have a very hard time not picking an African-American woman. But what you do know is it'll be somebody who's very, very, very liberal, period. They can't help themselves.
If you could advise President Trump on one thing he needs to improve upon in the remaining 30 seconds, what would it be to win this election, which is so vital to our country?
Keep focusing on getting the economy moving. Define the Biden, Pelosi, Schumer team as a team so people understand how radical it will be. And offer the American people a huge legislative program that would be designed to create infrastructure, to have a 12-month holiday on the payroll tax, 100% expensing for businesses, to get this economy just so strong that we just blow past China and go back to being the most competent, most prosperous nation in the world. That's what I'd recommend.
Mr. Trump, give our best to the ambassador there in Rome, and safe travels, and keep healthy while you're in Italy also.
Thanks. Take care.
There he is, Newt Gingrich, the author of 36 books, including 15 New York Times bestsellers.
And that wraps us up for Carolina Focus. Have a great Sunday. Have a great upcoming week.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.